Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the one and only ScaryCast. This is Dr. John, and we have a host that's a guest tonight. So I'm going solo as the host. I'm glad to be here. Just hanging out with Papa Stro on WCW Retro. A little plug for our Murder 123. Papa Stro is going to be on there Monday night. This coming Monday night, and he's going to be talking about murder and wrestling. So get prepared for the series. Chris Mois, Owen Hart, gentleman Chris Adams, some scary stuff happened in professional wrestling. So we'll talk about the scary stuff on Murder 1, 2, 3. Tonight we have a special announcement. The A-team here, the A-team of Bigfoot, I like to call us. I've got as our guests tonight, Robin McCray. How are you tonight, Robin?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Oh, we're so glad to have you as a guest. You're normally a host, so you're a guest because you're
a
real contributor.
I can get a foot on both sides.
Yes, you do. And, of course, the one and only, one of my favorite people in the world, Janice Carter. How are you doing, Janice?
Doing good.
I know. I got you excited when I mentioned I have to make more coffee, so I'm glad you were excited.
I know. I'm in for making coffee.
I hope it's not going to spill over. I'll have to take 5 seconds off sometime and go get me some of this good stuff. I use Chock Full of Nuts coffee. That's what my family always drank, and it's so good. But anyway, I just wanted to say, ladies, it's so good to have you here on StoryCast. And we've got some fun things going on. Of course, in January, coming up on January the 25th, we have got a conference in Aiken, South Carolina. And Aiken, South Carolina is quite famous for, I think Finding Bigfoot did a Bigfoot town hall there. So what we're going to do is we're going to start a series of Bigfoot town halls. We're going to be going all throughout the East Coast. We're going to be going and we're going to be talking about Bigfoot. Because you two ladies have got about as much experience in Bigfoot as anyone I know. And we've also got friends like Don Tart. We've got William Henry. We've got our buddy Matt Delph. We got lots of friends. And Tony Filosi and Thomas Markham, of course, up in Kentucky. We got friends that we'll be adding as we go around. We're going to be talking about Bigfoot for about 4 or 5 hours. And then we're going to have the town hall meeting where people can come in and talk about their experiences with Bigfoot. I mean, that's what they want to do. They want to get validation that, yeah, I'm okay if I've had a Bigfoot experience. Like the three of us
Absolutely.
Have. We've had enough Bigfoot experiences to fill a book. Anna's already filled
a
book, didn't you,
Janet? People need to download.
That's exactly right. Robin, if you would please, you told me about your experience in setting up or in being involved in a Bigfoot town hall up in Michigan, correct? And how popular it came and they wanted you back. Do you mind sharing that story with us?
Sure. Well, it wasn't even supposed to actually be a town hall meeting. It was supposed to be a very small conference. I went up there and I started talking, and people are, you know, they're listening and everything. And I made the comment, if anybody has anything to say or any questions at any time, please just raise your hand because I definitely want to hear it. So a couple people, you know, had some questions, and I asked them, and I thought, you know what, I could stand up here and do this all day, or I can find out what's going on with them because I'll know what better ways to help them and address things they want to know if I know what's going on with them. So I simply turned it around and I said, I'm happy to talk all day, you guys, but I want to hear what's going on with you. And the people just went crazy, and they were so excited about it. And we ended up where we filled the whole room, and then we had enough people that they were lined up out the door and in the parking lot. And so the guy that was running the conference said, listen, is there any way you can come back up here next Saturday so we can do this again? It's not scheduled. It's not advertised. But we would like to try to do this again. So I said, absolutely. So I went back up another week, the following weekend. I spoke for almost 2 hours, and I did the same thing. And I said, come on in, everybody, and just tell me what's going on. And it was fantastic. And most of these people, they just want to download. They want to know that what they saw exists. And I can tell when I talk to somebody right off the bat if it's actually a Bigfoot or if it's something else. And they just want to know that there's other people out there that have experienced this stuff. Because most of the people that this is happening to are new to it, and they have literally no idea that similar things have happened to other people. So it's great for them and it's great for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Janice, what experience have you had with Bigfoot town halls? I know you've been to some.
Not really, not town halls, but I've talked in front of audiences and asked questions, you know, and I've had a lot of people contact me, and they simply, like Robin said, they simply want to know, you know, what's going on in their world, if the, what they are seeing is real, or if it's a Bigfoot, or if it's some other cryptid, being that it could be a dog man, it could be a lizard man, it could be an alien or whatever, you know, they saw something. And being able to say, hey, I actually saw something and it's real, and have confirmation from someone else that has experienced the same things, brings them comfort in some small way.
I have to agree. I mean, they just want to know, and I found it really helpful when we did that was, you know, I gave my number out to a lot of people or my email because they want to have some type of a link to somebody that they can contact that believes in them and can give them, even if we don't know all the answers, which none of us do,
no,
but
don't.
At least somebody that as these things happen, they have somebody to contact because they, when it starts out, they aren't even interested in the Bigfoot. It's just something it's that happened to them. They weren't looking for it. It just happened. And that's mostly the way it is. And some people were out there looking, but most of them are. And they just want to be able to wrap their head around it. And they want to know that if it happens again, there's somebody out there that they can reach out to that's going to be understanding, that's going to listen to them and be honest enough with them to say, okay, I think you're dealing with a Bigfoot, or I think you're dealing with the Dogman or the Lizard Man or whatever. But, and if we think that that's not what they're doing, that it's something that's been misidentified, we're honest enough to tell them that too. But they need to have their voices heard. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that come back at me and they're like, I've kept quiet for 20 years because I thought I'd be ridiculed or people weren't going to believe me and I didn't want to destroy this relationship or that relationship. All of these people have some validity in what they've seen. And they don't want anything other than to have somebody listen to them. So this experience that is so abnormal for them, they have somewhere to go with it rather than just to sit on it and stew it in their own mind.
Exactly. Exactly. I got to tell you something funny. You mentioned Lizard Man because some people know, some people don't know. I run the South Carolina Lizard Man Festival. I dearly love that festival. I think it's important culturally. I think it's important historically, and I think it's important because I believe in Lizard Man. There were way too many stories. I can tell you the town of Bishopville, they get a little embarrassed. They think some dude named Mr. Elmore put on a sack and scared a couple of kids. But that's not the case with the hundreds of sightings. And what was interesting, I've got an artist that we work with, Zach Somov. He's from Ravenel, South Carolina. So he and I were riding along, we were riding along Highway 165. It's real swampy down there. There's trees, there's swamp, there's everything. And he looked at me. Well, he and I had never mentioned this, but he said, you know, John, this is exactly where Lizard Man probably is. And I said, well, what made you say that? He said, I don't know. That just kind of like came into my head that there's got to be Lizard Man down here. I said, well, buddy, you just probably, not sure, but you probably had your first element of mind speak. Because if you, Robin and Janice, isn't it correct that when all of a sudden you realize something, that may not just be you. You may be receiving that from somewhere else through mind speak, correct?
Absolutely.
And so I said, I think you've been around us too long, or not long enough, and you're starting to understand. He said, well, you know, it was really weird. I just looked at it, and it just occurred to me that there must be lizards out there. I said, probably. I said, this is territory out here. I wouldn't be hanging out over here by myself at night. I'd be in somebody's place. So anyway, it was kind of interesting because, you know, we're moving. We've got to get Lizard Man Festival to a larger metropolitan area so that more people have access to it and will enjoy it. We actually have a lot of folks from Atlanta who will come to the Lizard Man Festival. In fact, more people come from Atlanta to the Lizard Man Festival in Lee County than come from Lee County. So the executive committee made a decision, and it looks like we're probably moving to South Charleston because it's so easy to get to Charleston from Atlanta. You just pop on 20 and head south on 26 when you get to Columbia. So we just want to get Lizard Man out there to the largest number of people. And Lizard Man's a cryptid. Lizard Man appears and disappears. That sounds a lot like a portal, doesn't it?
A portal.
Well, yeah,
either
that or cloaking.
Yeah. Well, and I know that there have been a number of reports of Lizard Man being seen in the Savannah River area between Georgia and South Carolina. And I don't know, there might not be some reports of Lizard Man down there in Charleston if I go out and investigate.
It's possible.
Well, back 30
put
years
one more
ago
thing
when
out
I was
there.
Here.
Oh, go ahead, Dan.
I was fixing to say back 30 years ago when I was here in Charleston, South Carolina was where I lived, when the original report, the first report of Lizard Man came in. And everybody was Lizard Man crazy at the time. We had shirts, we had, you know, T-shirts that had I Saw the Lizard Man printed up on them and all kinds of stuff. And it was a big fiasco thing. You know, everybody went wild. And years ago, 30 years ago, when you went down 178, there were no houses for a long stretch down going down through there. It's all swamp. The train track ran through on the one side of 178 and nothing else. So there could have been all kinds of cryptid animals out there, not just Lizard Man. I mean, you could have had anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what's funny? And I'm going to try this experiment. Up there in Bishopville, when I went up there researching Lizard Man, do you know what people wanted to tell me? They wanted to tell me Bigfoot stories. Because they felt comfortable. If I was looking for Lizard Man, they wanted to tell me Bigfoot stories. So what I'm going to do is down there in Ravenel and in Charleston, I'm going to start looking for Bigfoot stories and see if I don't start getting Lizard Man stories back. I think it's kind of funny because as people feel comfortable talking with you, and both of you ladies know if they're comfortable talking with you, they'll start telling you the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Biggest
well,
shock
I do
of my
want to
life.
See this.
Go, no,
can we
go ahead,
remember
please.
What I took a picture of in my backyard?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
what?
We have
hey, I have that on my
too.
Tablet.
Well,
did I hear Lizard
I
Man?
One in the, I have a picture of Lizard Man in my backyard that I took. I wasn't even looking for a picture of him. I was literally out looking for pictures of the foot because I get a lot of my pictures standing on my porch of the Bigfoot. And that's literally what I was out there looking for. They had been mind-speaking on and off that day. And so I went out back and just started snapping pictures in case I'd catch something of them. And I'll be darned if I didn't have a lizard back there, Lizard Man.
Yeah, and she sent it to me. I was in Tennessee at the time. She sent it to me over Messenger, and Facebook Messenger. And I said, oh. She says, what is that? I said, oh, that's a Lizard Man. Like, oh. That's just something common that happens every
well,
day.
Well, I figured that's what it was, because what else is it going to be? I mean, it looks like a lizard. It is a lizard, and it's on two legs, and it's about 7 feet, 8 feet tall. It's a Lizard Man. But I
beautiful
thought, okay, somebody else.
Type green, beautiful coloring.
Yeah, like a chameleon green. But I was like, you know, somebody else needs to look at this and tell me that what I'm seeing is exactly what I'm seeing.
Well, it's what it is, you know. And so anyway, I'm actually going to chart to the South Charleston area tomorrow to see if I can arrange to maybe try to move the Lizard Man Festival down to Ravenel, South Carolina, which would give more people access. It's just so easy to get there from Atlanta, to get there from Columbia, to get there from Bishopville if those folks want to come. So, I mean,
yeah,
I think that
come up from Florida.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Janice, it's amazing you said that. We've had people come. We had people come up from Florida the 2 years ago to the Lizard Man Festival. We had some people come from Illinois. I mean, Lizard Man has massive appeal. I want to tell you, ladies, a very interesting story. And this comes from the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, the second, because we've just had the third one and we're going into our fourth one. On the second one, there was this nice-looking young man, about 30 years old. He walked in with his very pretty fiance, and they paid their money to get in. And then they started hanging around the entrance table where I was, and that always means when it clears out, one of them's going to say, "I need to tell you something." That's always what it means, and I was right. So he said, "You know, I'm an attorney, and you probably have seen my billboards." And I thought to myself, "Oh my goodness, that is the guy that has the speeding ticket billboards all over Johnson City." I said, "Wow, yes, I have," and I recognized him. It's like here in Myrtle Beach, if someone says David Axelrod, there's an Axelrod billboard every mile because he's the speeding ticket guy and the criminal guy and everything. So I realized I was talking with, this is a pretty substantial fellow. He said, "I need to talk to you because there's a place out about 15 miles from here. And we were out there walking around one afternoon, and we saw something jump and splash into the swamp. And I believe it was a lizard man." I said, "Really?" Now, this is the Kingsport, Johnson City, Tennessee area. We're way up in the mountains. We're 4,000 feet up. And in my opinion, it can get cold.
There's marshlands out there in that area.
You're right, Janice. But it's cold up there. I mean, it doesn't jump out to me to be real lizard man territory, so he said that. And I said, "All right, well, did you have any evidence?" He said, "Yes, we saw a couple of footprints." And I said, "Draw one." And I have it sitting right here. I won't let that leave my couch. And he drew, I'm not going to say what, but he drew the correct lizard man footprint. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of stunned me. I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No, this is what we saw. And I have seen a correct, not a fake, because there's some fake casts out there, but I've seen a real cast of the lizard man footprint." And he drew there's a characteristic of it that unless you've seen the real one, you don't know. And he knew. And I realized that there must be a lizard man up there between Johnson City and Kingsport, Tennessee. I was stunned. And it made me realize that these things are all over. I guess anywhere where it's a little swampy, because I somehow, Janice, correct me if I'm wrong, but I somehow don't think that Lizard Man hangs out in the Sahara Desert. I just don't think so.
I wouldn't think so, but we could be mistaken.
Well, let's say logic. Okay, Robin, logic would dictate that Lizard Man probably doesn't hang out in the Sahara Desert. But Lizard Man, as Janet said, certainly hangs out in swampy territory. That's what kind of frightens me about living in Horry County, because Horry County is really known for swamps. And you couldn't get to Myrtle Beach back in the early part of the last century. Conway was as far as you could go. Then you had to use a ferry to get through the swamps and the rivers to get to the island, which is Myrtle Beach. I mean, beach people really don't know, but Myrtle Beach is on an island. And the only way you can get to it is one of three bridges, north, south, and that west bridge over the river right outside of Conway. That's the only way you can get to Myrtle Beach. And Lord only knows what is out there in those swamps in Conway, Pawley Swamp, which is especially frightening, where I almost I went to sleep at the wheel, I almost drove into Pawley Swamp. That would have been that was just horrible. It's deep. It's about 8 feet deep. Still trees growing out. That would have been the end of me. So what I'm saying is Horry County is a very swampy place, and I'm surprised that we haven't had more reports of Lizard Man and Bigfoot around here, But then I guess, first of all, we've got so much traffic going in here now and so many people traveling even these back roads to avoid the highways. I think that may make it a little more difficult for people to have Bigfoot and Lizard Man experiences. But I know they're out there, especially down Highway 90. And the reason I say that is the first 2 years that we had the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, I was absolutely certain that Bigfoot was not at Bays Mountain Park. That's where we had those wonderful people. City of Kingsport, they let us take over Bays Mountain Park. You were there. They let us take over the Farmstead Museum for a weekend. What great people they are. And we had such a wonderful time. But on Friday morning, William Henry, we're standing outside. I had just moved tables. I was about to pass out tired. And he said, "John, do you see the structures?" I said, "Where?" I couldn't even look up. I was so tired. He said, "Look right across this road." And there were four huge structures. And I looked at him and I said, "Well, obviously Bigfoot wanted to honor us and greet us." So William went out and talked to some of the maintenance people that have been there for 30, 40 years, about ready to retire. And he found out that those structures, the trapeze, there was a blind and something else. And they said, "Well, those weren't there 30 days ago." So I talked with one of the administrators. He said, "Oh, it was probably the kids from this fellow that lives right over there." I said, "I'd like to talk to him, please." So he went over and talked to him himself, and he came back. They said they were just amazed that all of a sudden one structure after another just started showing up. And if you want to see pictures of them, all you have to do is go to Tennessee Bigfoot Conference on Facebook, and you can see those, because I made sure that we got those pictures up on Friday. So I just changed my mind that, are there no Bigfoot there? Well, just because people haven't seen it doesn't mean that they're not there. But we had some Bigfoot explorers.
There was a sighting there, because when we were at the conference, if you remember, I was upstairs.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
There was windows going off the end. And as I was standing up there, Igor Borsov was speaking, and I was standing up there near him. I happened to glance out the window, and there was a black one that was trying to come down the hill a little ways. And I saw it run from one tree and then behind the next. And then shortly thereafter, Jan's daughter Holly and I were on the main floor, and I happened to look over at the window, and I clearly saw what looked to be a leg and a foot sticking out from one side of the tree that was jet black, just like the other one was, where I saw the whole body on that one, and then it pulled it behind the tree, and I didn't see it again.
Yep.
Right. Well, I guess what I'm saying is, for the first 2 years, we didn't have any sightings, and then all of a sudden, once those structures appear, we have an abundance of sightings, not only yours, but William and another gentleman took off into the woods, and they had quite a frightening experience, I believe, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, it's like 2 years, we don't have any, and then all of a sudden, I guess they were excited about us being there for the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. They showed up. They honored us with some stick structures. And then lo and behold, here we are. And I want to do a quick announcement. I had told both of you this, but we're going to be there for the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, the fourth annual. That will be the last weekend in September of 2020. But then that weekend and the weekend of Halloween, folks, we're going to be putting on the paranormal experience at Bays Mountain Park. We're going to be doing ghost hunts. Tony Filosi's coming down from Kentucky, from Harlan, Kentucky. He's going to bring some of his equipment and let people see how to use a spirit box. We're going
to
be doing a ghost tour of Bays Mountain Park. Pardon?
I said, I know how to use a spirit box, and I get pretty good results. And Robin does, too.
I don't doubt that you.
Yeah, they're awesome.
So, I mean, because I was going to invite you to come up with us, Bays Mountain Park, especially that the weekend before Halloween is when we're going to do this. We're going to be doing Friday night and Saturday night ghost tours, and we're going to be doing paranormal, show how to use a spirit box, and then also we're going to be doing Bigfoot tours. And I hope that the Bigfoot community will honor us again with a new stick structure or two. And plus, you can also go out on the barge. I mean, you know, who knows if we can find somebody, we can try to do a seance there. And I certainly do not recommend Ouija boards, not at all. But seance, if you've got someone that's trained, well, you know, if you've got someone that's trained, maybe we will discuss that among us and see if we want to offer that. But the Bays Mountain Park Administration has invited us to come up there and do the paranormal programming for Halloween. Excited. We're also going to have some movies Friday night and Saturday night at the amphitheater. So, I mean, it's going to be an entire Halloween fest. I'm so happy that the Hominology group here has been asked to spearhead the Halloween entertainment in Kingsport, Tennessee. I mean, I just can't imagine how much better.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a
blast.
No
Ouija board.
No Ouija board. I don't do Ouija board. Neither do I.
So you know, that's kind of a fun thing that we've got to look forward to. I've already got it on the calendar. That will be a couple of weeks after the Georgia Bigfoot Conference in Clayton. So we'll have a week to rest, and then we'll be heading up there to Tennessee and to our favorite place, which is Bays Mountain Park. And the city will be letting us have the bottom floor of the Armstead Museum to do some of our things, have some books for sale, have some artwork. Zach will be with us selling some of his great artwork, and so we're gonna have a blast up there. And so, you know, I guess what I can say is the team is going to be working on these Bigfoot town hall meetings. We're going to Louisville, Kentucky, which is just north of Corbin, where Kentucky Fried Chicken is headquartered. So we're going to be in Pineville. That will be before we do the Kentucky Bigfoot Conference. We're going to do one in Myrtle Beach. I mean, we have to because I live here. So we're all going to have to come to Myrtle Beach. We're going to be in Aiken, South Carolina, and we're going to be down in Charleston because we have friends down there. And Eric the astronomer will be out there with us when we do our Bigfoot town hall. He said he'd love to come with us. So we've got some great things planned, and so just check for the dates and the events. Everybody just check Bigfoot town hall on Facebook and all that. Yes, ma'am?
No, I said yes. I was agreeing. You need to go on there and check it out. There's going to be some great things on there.
Absolutely. And also check out at International Hominology. The International Hominology page has research, experiences, and everything. So everybody should go check all those out. I mean, we're, you know, sponsored by ScaryCast. ScaryCast is thrilled to be part of International Hominology Association. Oh, and by the way, I got a message from Igor today. He said hello. I hope you're well. And yes, I did. And he liked some picture on one of the Facebook pages, and it was great to see him. So yeah, I guess Igor is alive and doing well over there in bitterly cold Russia.
He called the other day, and he is super busy, misses everybody, but he is just really, really hard at work. He hit the ground running the second he got back to Russia. He's had different conferences and speaking engagements, and now he's getting ready to go on an expedition.
I'm glad he misses us because we miss him. Yes, Janice, I'm sorry.
I said, and he's doing some documentary filming. Also, his two grandsons had birthdays, and we want to wish them happy birthdays.
Yep. Yeah, he's been a busy guy. The documentary is supposed to be done by January, is what I was told. To be going in for a film festival. So hopefully that will happen as scheduled, and we'll get a link for everybody and see what we can do about getting that out there.
That's great. Well, one thing I would like to ask the two of you to do, please, is please get the link for ScaryCast tonight over to Igor so he can see that we're talking about him and that we really miss him.
Oh, okay. I sure will.
Yeah,
we
will. He can listen. He can do more things than he thought he could do. He actually can go on YouTube now.
Yeah, he's figuring out YouTube. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, he is one super nice guy, and I think about him frequently. He's got such a great demeanor, and he's so calm. Well, now I know he can get excited. He can be so calm. He can be so wonderfully analytic. about things, and that's what's nice. And
he's very passionate. He's very passionate about the forest people, so that's always a plus. And he's devoted his life to them.
He certainly has, and we're so glad that when he came over here, he was with us at three major conferences, the Cherokee Comic Con, Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. I mean, I cannot imagine how lucky everybody was to get to meet him and hear him. I can tell you, our astronomer Eric was just thrilled. He said, "I've been following Igor Burtsev for 20 years, and to think I get to hang out with him at three events." So Eric was just thrilled.
Jan and I are very blessed to have him in our lives. He's, you know, he's much more than a research pal. He's family to us. And when he's in the States, this is where his home base is. Not that he doesn't travel, but this is his home base. So we're pretty blessed to have him in our lives. Like I said, he's family. He's not just some, you know, fellow researcher that we work with. And it's been like that for many years now.
Yeah, that's great. Just so glad to be part of that group. And you know, we got some other good people. If I may mention them, I would like for you two ladies to just, if you don't mind, tell a little bit about our two friends, Don Tart and William Henry, just so that people know a little bit about who they are. They're going to be with us at the Bigfoot Town Hall in Aiken. Am I correct?
Yes,
they both agreed to come. William has just turned out to be, I think for both Jan and I, he's turned out to be just, both of these men have, but just a wonderful friend. I met him because somebody was picking on me in a group. And William was the knight in shining horse or rider on the white horse that was going to come in and save me. So that's how I met him. And we just hit it off and we've been friends ever since. And Don, I was introduced to by Jan and just blessed to have him in our lives. He's just as dear as William is.
And I've known Don for many years, been out researching with him. He's the stand-up guy that will have your back. You know, he has your back. He doesn't run off and leave you in the woods. We don't always see eye to eye, but nobody does, you know. But we agree to disagree respectfully, and we respect each other's opinions. And I don't know a better person to have on a team, any team, than Don.
I agree.
He's a very dear friend, very dear friend.
Yeah,
I had talked on Facebook with William, but I hadn't met him until we went to CherokeeCon up there, and he said, "I'm going to come. I want to meet you." And he came in, and lo and behold, we got to talking, and he had been interacting with the extended group of Bigfoot family group that I had living on my farm all those years ago, my grandfather's farm, and he had been interacting with them since he got sort of dumped in their lap, or they got dumped in his lap back in 2016, and he said, "Oh, my God." Well, he sent me a couple of sketches before we met, and I said, "Oh, my God, that's Blackie, and this is Toby, and this is so-and-so and so-and-so." And he says, "You've got to be kidding me." He says, "I've been going up to this area all these years." And I said, "Honey, you are in there interacting with my family group, Bigfoot."
Because, now, Jan, I'm going to stop you just a second because there might be some listeners that don't know. You can tell us about your association with Mary Green, and you were the co-author of 50 Years with Bigfoot, the Tennessee Coexistence Experience, which is one of the classic books in all of Bigfoot literature. And do you mind giving the 3-minute summary, because a lot of people don't know about that book? It's out of print right now. And so if you don't, would you mind giving the 3-minute synopsis of that book so that people who don't know about it can at least be knowledgeable of it?
Okay. What happened was in 2002, I contacted Mary Green, and because nobody else would listen to me, I contacted the BFRO, and they told me that I was a liar to begin with, the person. So I contacted Mary, And she came out and she investigated along with Joseph Bell, Stan Stanowski, and Faye, I can't think of Faye's last name, investigated my case. And she decided to write, because there was so much detail and so much information, she decided that she would do a written book and that I could add the portions that needed to be added also as co-author. And she would tell my grandfather's story and my story. And that's how we came up with the book. And then I went in the back of the book, I have like 7 chapters there, also documenting more things, their language and different things, you know, and through the eyes of my grandfather, what he believed and whatnot about them. And that's where we are at. And we also had William Duncan, who came out and investigated the case. He does a foreword in the book. Paul Smith does artwork on the cover of the book. And Janice, I can't think of Janice's last name, does the artwork for the pages of the chapters of the book. Dmitry Bayanov and Igor Borsov also endorsed the book, because I had contacted them because I wished to put the story of Zana in my book to show the comparisons, because I did a comparison in the back of Patty and Zana, what we thought Zana looked like, and Sheba, Fox's mate. And Fox is the main character, or the main Bigfoot that I worked with for many, many years. He died in 2010, but his extended family, I continue to work with them. Robin has worked with them here at her place, because they followed me down, some of them did, from Tennessee. They have a tendency, if you have a relationship of any kind, friendship, what have you, with them, you know, and develop what we call habituation cases with them, they'll follow you around. You can't get rid of them even if you wanted to. And that's about where we're at.
Well, that sounds great. And you talk about habituation cases. I can't wait to get back to Rabun County, Georgia, where my friends are, because I believe there's a clan of Bigfoot near where I like to hang out. And I've had 3 experiences with them, and they've all been interesting, and I can't wait to get back and be around them, because I know they're there. We don't really like to talk about exactly where they are, but they're in Rabun County, Georgia. A lot of people know that Rabun County is a hot spot because, number one, it's the county with the most forest in all of Georgia. It's got beautiful Tallulah Falls. It's got Black Rock Mountain. It's got so many places that are just remote and wild, and they're not about to be logged or anything. So it's a great place if you want to experience Bigfoot. I would just tell everyone to go to Black Rock Mountain State Park or to go to Tallulah Falls State Park. I mean, those are good places to start. There are plenty of stories about Bigfoot in both of them. Our friends, the wonderful artist Melissa and her husband Josh, they like to camp up at Black Rock Mountain State Park. And I know that they have had discussed some potentially interesting experiences up there. So it's just a great place. I feel like I'm part of the tourism committee for Rabun County. Get up there. Have a great time, everybody. So that's wonderful.
Yes.
And I guess what I'd like to do, because we've really covered a lot of material. We've talked about the Bigfoot Town Hall meetings, the first one coming up, Aiken, South Carolina, January the 25th. We've had Janice talked a little bit about her book with Mary Green, which is wonderful. Robin has talked about her quite accidental, wonderful experience about a Bigfoot Town Hall meeting in Michigan. And I guess what I'd like to do as we move toward the end of ScaryCast, because I always love the stories that the two of you ladies have, I would like to ask each one of you, would you give us a Bigfoot story that we may not have heard?
Oh, I'm trying to think of one that you wouldn't.
Okay. Yeah, sure. You see, this is like asking Maestro, because I've been around the wrestler, Papa Stro, the Maestro of wrestling, is like saying, tell me a story. I've probably heard 1,000 of his stories, and you know what? Even if I've heard them, I like hearing them again. So I tell you, Robin, you go first, and Jan, if you'll go, and then there will be another one for the record books on ScaryCast. So, Robin Haynes-McRae, tell us a story.
Well, I'm trying to think which one would work best. How do you pick from hundreds? I mean, it just grabs
one. First one that comes to your head.
Okay. We had, this was a few years ago, it wasn't here. But everybody who knows me knows I have a lot of dogs, always have. And the Foots have always been very good to my dogs. I've been very fortunate. The second I moved to a location I was at in White Cloud, and it was a very active location. They would walk around uncloaked freely all day, all night. And I made sure they knew these pets were like my kids. You know, I mean, I specifically went outside and gave them the whole rundown, and you may not hurt them, this type of thing. And so they left them alone. They never bothered them. And they would call my collie. Every time I turn around, they'd be calling my collie out to the woods. She'd come back covered in mud and leaves, you know, she was a long-haired collie, so she would have leaves wound up in between her hair. And I mean, and you could tell it looked like somebody tried to braid them in there. And we had a small dog with my daughter's name is Chloe. And I had actually went out and put food out for them that morning, and all the dogs went outside with me, and I came back up on the porch. Chloe was the last one. She was still out in the woods playing around. And I heard her scream, and it didn't sound like she was hurting. She was scared. It was just a scared scream. But I heard her vocals, and they were like 9 foot off the ground. Okay, now she's a little Shih Tzu cross. She doesn't even get 9 inches off the ground, let alone 9 feet. And I heard her scream, and she was yipping, and immediately I knew that one of them had her. And so I hollered to them that they better put, you know, the mom voice. And, you know, that they better put that foot or that dog down right now or there's going to be big trouble. And they took off running through the woods. Well, as they're running, she's screaming like a banshee, just hollering. And I thought, this is ridiculous. And they were running towards the driveway or the end of the driveway, which was quite long. So I jumped in the truck to drive to try to cut them off at the end of the driveway. And the whole time I'm hollering out my window, the dog had better be back on the porch. Just put her back on the porch and get your little hairy mitts off of it. You can't have the dog. And I'm mind speaking on top of it, so if they didn't hear me one way, they're darn well going to hear it another. I get to the end of the driveway and no dog, no Bigfoot, no nothing. And I could see one was running through the woods, and I knew which one it was. And he would never have hurt her. They just wanted to play with her. That's all they wanted. And I get to the end of the driveway. There's nobody there. I turn around, I drive back up the driveway, and just as I get up the driveway, I see a white Bigfoot putting her down very gently on the front porch. And he kind of turned, looked at me, and then he turned around and ran back in the woods. And he didn't hurt her, he didn't do a thing to her, but I was so mad because, you know, they would call him out there all the time. They were forever calling the dogs out there or the cats. You know, we had a Shetland pony, and they were forever messing with the Shetland pony. They adored that pony, just adored the pony. But, yeah, they took her, didn't hurt her, and I knew they wouldn't. I asked them, I said, what would possess you to take it? Well, we just wanted to play with her. The kids wanted to play with her. And I said, well, then the kids are going to have to come out in the yard to play with her because she's not going in the woods with the people. But, yeah, I tried to get her, and they figured out I was pissed. They double-backed and set her on the front porch.
Well, that's interesting. That reminds me a lot of Kemp Ramey's story, the famous artist in North Georgia, how his little dog got lost in the woods. It was very cold, but he had to take his dad back to the house. But they'd been out camping, but he had to take his dad back to get his medicine. So they came back to look for the dog, and he said that when they got to the end of the road near where the campsite was, he saw something with arms placed the dog on the road. They got to the dog. It had a very horrible smell to it, but it was warm. It wasn't cold. It wasn't shivering. And that's one of his Bigfoot stories. And I think it's great. It just shows that they know to help. They really do know to help. So that's great.
I have a friend of mine that has cats that are outside, and she has a poor one on her property as we do here. And every now and then the cats will literally wander into these portals. And so she'll call on the foot to go in out, or, you know, go in and get him. And every time she tells the foot to go get him, it's back and sitting on her back step within 15 minutes. I mean, religiously. you know, and I had a shepherd that was out playing, and I watched her go into this portal. She was there 1 minute, and I just saw her disappear. And she was gone for an hour and a half, and I finally, you know, told the foot, they said, somebody's got to go get her because apparently she don't know how to get out. And sure enough, here she comes, and I, you know, they went and got her, and I come back out a few minutes later, and she's sitting on the front porch.
Wow.
Well, they used to
great
take off my dogs all the time. Some of them they bring back, and some of them, there was a few of them they couldn't stand, so they did away with them, which is a horrible story, a horrible part of the story. But one of them bit me one time. I had this collie that had come there to the house, and it bit me, and they perceived that that was harmful to me, so they killed him. You know, and then the other one, they took off. Every time I get ready to go show this collie, they'd be gone with it, and I'd have to just tell them, you know, bring Shane back. Come on, guys. They'd bring him back, and he'd be, just like Robin said, muddy, twigs in his hair, braided up, mm-hmm. matted hair, you know. And it's like, okay, let's spend 5 hours trying to get this stuff out of him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they like the dogs. They love the dog next door to me. My mini pig got out the other day and mm-hmm. went to the backyard, and the next door neighbors have a German Shepherd. And I went looking for him, and as I'm looking back there, I see this German Shepherd, and she looks like she's on her hind legs with her front paws out like she's boxing at the air. And then I looked behind her, and here stands a white Bigfoot. He was holding the Shepherd back so it wouldn't get to the pig.
I could see Sheba, but I couldn't see the Bigfoot from where I was.
Yeah, I saw it from her hind legs. Chest up. Yeah, I saw it from the chest up. I know which foot it was. It was Shadow, but they were back there. And then, you know, even when the pig started to come back, and then even when I saw the foot put the dog down, she never did come up and hurt him. She only came so far, and then it was like somebody slammed her with a wall because, like, she was running towards the pig, and all of a sudden it just completely crashed, and she wasn't going past a certain point. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with the foots as well.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. Some people have lots of stories. Some don't. For those of you that don't, I guess the advice is just keep your mind open. Don't go looking at it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't push it. Some people spend 20 years in the woods, and they spend 20 years in the woods and don't see anything. Some people don't go into the woods like me, and you have experiences quite frequently. So, you know, it's not always boots on the ground. Sometimes it's just being open-minded and just going about your way and understanding that that they certainly exist, and, you know, you'll see them. So anyway, I guess that's kind of good advice that I've heard from you two ladies. So I guess what I'll say is the tour begins. The tour begins Aiken,
so Dan,
South Carolina.
What story?
Okay, yeah.
Dan,
no, I'm
had
sorry.
A story
you were both collaborating. Yes, Jan. What's your story? I'm sorry.
Okay. I'll tell one. This has to do with we were in Tennessee, me and a friend of mine and my daughter. Now, Robin said that she confronted him and used the mom voice. We were up there in one of them that we call Grumpy, up there in his area, and I was out there looking at his glyph drawings because they do actually draw. So I'm out there, and we're looking at them, and Holly was up on the little pathway that goes down through the woods into the forest, and Top Santa is Grumpy's wife, his mate, and their child threw a stick at Holly's head, my youngest daughter's head. It didn't hit her. It went flying past her, but I came unglued, so I go charging up the hill, a-hollering. You don't throw sticks or anything at my daughter, blah, 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 you know. I'm going to come up there and give you a spanking, and I don't care if you are a Bigfoot kid. You need a spanking. You don't do that to other people. And the woman that was with me, her mouth just dropped open. She says, "What in this world are you doing?" I said, "I'm going up there, and I'm going to have me a furry butt before it's over with."
Yeah. I'm not kidding. I've gotten so mad out there. I'm just out there cussing them out and blessing them out. Ugh.
Well.
And then, you know, and that it's like we were up there another time, and I was actually returning a rock that they had drawn on, and we kept trying to interact and interact. The same lady was with me. And finally I said, okay, do you want us to leave? And here comes Top Santa, and she says, yes. I said, okay, let's get in the car and let's leave. Just leave the rock and the food and the gifts and stuff here, and we're gone. So we pulled out.
You know, that's a good story. I've got a and I'm embarrassed that I can't recall the name, but there's a fine author. He's a paranormal author from New York. I had him on Scarycast about 6 months ago, and he has a wonderful story about interaction with Bigfoot. I would like to invite you to. I'm gonna contact him and get him to come back on Scarycast, and I would like the two of you to co-host with me along
with
Devin if he's around.
Was
no,
it Justin Decker?
No.
Okay.
I don't think
okay.
so. No, I'll find it. He's in the. He's in my list of Scarycast shows, and I want to bring him back. And he can relay that story. It was a really good one, and I look forward to having him there and having all you folks talk. And I'll just be a moderator, and I'll just get to listen and have a great time. So, you know, anyway, the tour begins. Janice, thank you for the story. Robin, thank you for the story. Thank you both for your stories. And we've had a great time tonight. The Bigfoot tour begins. Bigfoot Town Hall begins at Aiken, South Carolina, January 25th at Aiken Tech. We are so appreciative that Aiken Technical College is letting the Bigfoot Town Hall come in, and we're going to have a great time. I know I've spoken with the folks there this week. They are really excited. I've gotten them a press release. They're going to be getting that out. There'll be an article in the Aiken newspaper, and we'll probably get some information out in Augusta, which is only about 25 minutes away. You've got a million people down there, and I know we've got some wonderful Bigfoot stories for the town hall, and we'll have, of course, Janice and Robin will be with us, along with William Henry and Donald Hart. I will be there. Eric the astronomer will be there. Zach Somov, the artist, will be there. And that will be the traveling road show down to Aiken, South Carolina. And remember, we're going to be hitting Myrtle Beach, South Carolina later this year, Pineville, Kentucky. That will be in March, right before we head up to do the Kentucky Bigfoot Conference in Richmond, Virginia, at the Richmond County Public Library. Thanks to Ruthie Maslin, the head of the library, for welcoming us to Richmond, Kentucky, right, which is the home of Kentucky State University. Cannot wait up there and meet those people. They're so excited about Bigfoot up there. So we've got a big road show coming up, and it's just a wonderful adventure. So Janice, thank you for being with us tonight.
You're welcome.
Robin,
thank you for being
with us tonight. You are welcome. Robin, thanks for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. I enjoy it, Don.
And thanks to all the folks that are listening in. And we will see you next week, sometime between 10 or 11 p.m., depending on what time we can get it together. And I will try to have someone else that has a Bigfoot experience, because it's kind of a fun thing to do right now as we close up into the end of the year. November's here. It's upon us. It's going away. December's going to be here. And then January and the Traveling Road Show begins. So thanks a lot to everybody.
Absolutely.
Check out Scarycast this Monday night. Check out murder123.com. We will be having death in professional wrestling. A little grisly, but it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be, I think Robin and Devin will be with us. And who knows? Oh, and Tony Velosi, of course, with the Cell Block. Oh, yes. And we had some great time last week with Dr. Trey Donaway and the Jeffrey Epstein suicide murder. We don't know if that was a suicide or a murder. We'll find out one day, maybe. Maybe, maybe. So anyway, thanks a lot. We'll see you next week on the one and only.
Oh, thanks for having me, John.
Here he
is. Bye,
thank
everyone.
You.
Take care.
Bye, both of you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Okay. Bye.